Hello, you're listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Jennifer Stagg, and back today in studio is Scott Fisher, or Fish, as he's known around the Mormon Channel, host of Extreme Jeans, also that airs right here on the Mormon Channel. Thanks for coming back today.
Hey, it's great to see you again, Jen.
Okay, so last time you were here, we talked about why you're so passionate about family history, why you think it's so important for everyone to not lose that library or wealth of information that's involved in their lives. And today I want to continue that conversation and also take it in a direction of what are some of your favorite stories that have come out of your show? What are the ones that you walk away from the show and you just go, wow, that's amazing?
You know, first of all, there's a long list, and it just never ends. People who, well, in my case, for instance, one of the stories that happened to me, my wife and I were in Indiana and visiting a cemetery of her ancestry where we were just getting started at the time. And her uncle had parked his car in such a way that it blocked this little one-lane road that went through the middle of the cemetery. And so as we were going about investigating and trying to find names and dates on tombstones, another car had pulled up. And it was a 98-year-old woman who had been a distant cousin of the family that my wife's uncle had known as a boy. And his car happened to be blocking her in the middle of the week on a July day in the 1980s. And she was going to get a vase off her husband's tombstone that she had left there back on Memorial Day. And he recognized her, went over and said, "Is that you, Aunt Anna?" And she was sharp as a tack. "Well, yes, young man. Who are you?"
Wow.
Yeah. And he said his name. And she said, "Well, now, is your sister still down in Florida? And what's happened to her?" And so he called us down, and she was able to give us my wife's lineage back to the immigrant ancestor who'd come to that area, who had been born in the mid-1700s, all in order.
Oh,
she was the
goodness.
Family historian. She invited us over to her home, and she had photographs of my wife's third great grandparents. She had known them as a young girl, and she only lived in about two or three more years, but she was amazing. She lived on her own till she was about 100 years old.
Do you find that once people start doing family history or start looking into things, that the stars just kind of have a way of aligning and putting you in the right place at the right time?
Oh,
and
yes.
Putting a piece of information in front of you that you never would have found otherwise.
You have to look under every rock sometimes. And I still have my brick walls, just like everybody else. I can't get beyond a certain ancestor. I have several second greats, my grandmother Fisher's side. It's been a real struggle. But some others took me 15 years, 20 years, 30 years. But it's getting easier now because of all the matching with records and all the matching with other family trees that are out there. The technology is helping it. You know, I'm not one of those people who tells people that family history is easy. It's not easy, but it is easier. And when you start getting those rewards, like what happened to me in the cemetery and a couple of other things that I could share with you at some point, then you don't care about what it takes to get that information. You go to extremes. You make phone calls. You send out letters, you know, to some people who might not deal with the internet or might not want to deal with you because you've come to them through the internet. So you might have to, you know, do it the old-fashioned way, especially when you're dealing sometimes with older people. But when you start getting that information or somebody sends you a photograph, just last year I received a photograph of a brother of my grandfather that I'd lost track of because in New York City, how many James Moores are there? He was a half-brother, and we lost him. I never was able to find him over all these years. Well, finally I did through some interesting information that came about and found his wife's descendants, and they had a photograph
Wow.
of him and sent me a photo out of the blue, which was a real thrill.
You've said that it's really addictive once you get going. Do you find that it's kind of like a novel or a really good book that you cannot put down late at night, that you just have to know what's happening next?
Absolutely. And I've tried to actually create those novels by writing histories on each branch of the family. I've done 10 of them, sometimes 400 or 500 pages each on my wife's side, my side. Just last week, I discovered a third great who'd been in the War of 1812, and those records are just now starting to emerge due to a project to digitize the War of 1812 records. And so we're starting to see them on places like Fold 3 and in other locations, and people start to share that, and suddenly it's out there. And now the documents are coming to me next week, and I'll get to see some of the specifics of when he served, who he served under, what the group was about, what was their mission. It will be really interesting to see. I can't wait.
Last time you were here, I kind of asked you, why should people get involved with family history? Why should they delve into their past? If you could expand on that and kind of take it one step further, how do you think family history would affect their children and their children's children and going on down the line if they start the work now?
Well, it's been shown, first of all, that kids who are exposed to family history become more intelligent. They are better. They do better at school. And nobody knows exactly the whys of this other than to say that it gets them more grounded to understand that they're part of something bigger than themselves. I think that has a lot to do with it. Take it from somebody who lost a lot of family very young, you know, all of natural causes along the way. But nonetheless, there were, you know, like I had mentioned last time, a couple of uncles, my father, a brother, all four of my grandparents. I had lost my family history. Who was I going to turn to learn about these things? I still had my mom and a few other aunts and uncles. But had I waited until later in life, till I was older, then I would have lost an awful lot of information. So I was able to go back in those days with an old cassette recorder and get their stories in their own voices. And now those are all digitized and those are preserved for my children and grandchildren to hear and to benefit from and understand where they came from, those who participated in the world wars, those who had to live through the Depression. What was that like? And so when you come upon a problem in your life, the bump in the road, you'll be able to draw from that, say, wait a minute, my grandmother did this. My great-grandmother overcame something much worse than this. I can do it.
And what do your wife and your children think of your passion that has now become a career?
You know, my wife loves it, and she and I both share a passion for history. In fact, she runs the Department of Heritage and Arts for the state of Utah, which includes state history. And so we share a lot of information, and having some Utah roots, I often will go there to find some new information or photographs. And she'll also ask me about things that helps them with their mission, you know, to provide more information, including family history, to the people of Utah.
There is also, I think, a great power in identity and knowing who you are, where you came from, and possibly where your family history is going in the future, don't you think?
Absolutely. The other thing about it that's interesting is it doesn't take much, you know, in terms of going back to find that we're all related. We're all very closely related. We've got A.J. Jacobs doing this wonderful global family reunion in New York in June of this year. And all based on that idea. And the idea that if we understand, even through varying cultures and backgrounds, that we really are all related, it really changes how you look at other people. And maybe we're not quite as closed as we have been in the past.
It's like the 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yes.
But more.
Hey, but I've met Kevin Bacon. So now you are just 1 degree away from Kevin.
So now I've got to go meet Kevin Bacon.
I have
somewhere.
Pictures. So.
Proof, evidence in your family history now that you have met Kevin Bacon. Well, Scott Fisher, host of Extreme Genes on the Mormon Channel, thank you so much for joining us today. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Jen.
And of course, you can catch Extreme Genes on MormonChannel.org. Mormon Channel Daily is brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.